They aren't really journalists, but they can give you some local news. Three things you need to know today with Anna and Raven.
Three things you need to know. It's Anna and Raven. First, you've probably been hearing this name, Dr. Rick Bright. And
I heard of that dude.
Yeah, over the last couple days, his name's been popping up. And I'm like, wait, who's that guy? That's not Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx. Those are the only two doctors I know right now.
Look, just the way you said it was just like, if you ain't Fauci, you ain't nothing.
Well, and Dr. Birx are a
That's
scarf.
Not Dr. Fauci.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Who he is he's the immunology expert that he was fired from his job from the government.
He's the whistleblower.
Well, exactly. So he got mad. He said his firing was illegal, and he filed a whistleblower complaint and testified before Congress yesterday. And he said this.
There will be likely a resurgence of COVID-19 this fall. It'll be greatly compounded by the challenges of seasonal influenza. Without better planning, 2020 could be the darkest winter in modern history.
Oh, you're just trying to sell books, man. Get out of here with your doomsday prophecies and whatnot.
I wouldn't necessarily say it's doomsday.
He's unemployed. I'm not listening to him.
Dr. Fauci basically said the same thing, and he's not unemployed. So that was like one of the things that came up, because you know everybody fights all the time in Congress. That's what they do.
Right. And then people get fired.
And they get fired.
Right, they get removed.
But the whole point that I thought was interesting, and you know, I am not political. I don't get involved. But I guess he's on sick leave right now.
Oh, good.
So they said.
So we're paying the guy.
He gets paid $240,000 a year. And like one of the guys said to him, like, well, if you're sick, but you're here and you're still collecting your paycheck, you're good enough to be here. I don't know. It's one of those things that.
It's a squabble.
I just want it to go away.
Right.
All
of it.
Right. All of it.
The committees, the hearings.
The pandemic.
Right. All of that. Right. Right.
Second thing you need to know, if you thought your grocery bill was higher than usual, which I 100%, yeah, you're right. Last month, grocery store prices had the biggest monthly increase since 1974.
Now, it's not just like grocers are out there swimming in money like Scrooge McDuck.
Right. There's a reason for it.
There's going to be some pain for consumers, and it's not about profit taking as it is about supply chain disruption.
Right. So there's a lot of grocery stores out there that are putting freezes in place on the pricing, which
sure.
is definitely helpful. But it's because everything has gone up because we've seen all these factories and warehouses and all these places
People
that
are sick
and they can't get to work.
Yeah, yeah.
So the overall, and I thought this number was really low. I thought my bill was so high when I read this. I'm like, that's why. But it says that prices are up just 2.6% more than usual. Meat and eggs are up 4%, so that's a little bit more significant.
When it's something that you do every week, though, you're going to notice that and you're going to feel that right away.
Well, it's true. I picked up a pack of meat and I was like, that seems like a lot of money for chicken, but you know, what are you going to do? You got to eat.
Got to
eat. Yeah, and the third thing you need to know this hour, people freaked out yesterday because TJ Maxx opened online shopping.
Oh my gosh!
But here's the thing. They only take a certain amount of orders per day and then they shut the whole thing down. So within minutes, people already bought so much that they had to shut it down.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's already shut down for today. Now, you can...
Wait, it's early.
I know. But you can still browse, but you can't buy. And I see, I'm the kind of person that I like to walk into TJ Maxx.
Right. You got to peruse.
But no. When I went on the website, it is heartbreaking because you're like, oh, my God, those are $12.99. You go to click buy.
And
they're
it's
like,
gone.
Nope. You just can't get it.
They must be scaled down employee-wise. Like, there's only three people working. Like, it's T.
Yeah.
It's J.
Yep.
And it's Max.
Right.
And when the three of those guys are tired for the day.
That's it.
Orders are over.
That's exactly what they said. They say they're doing it for safety precautions.
That's all I need to know about you.
That's all I need to know about you. It's Anna and Raven. All you have to do is fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. If you assault anyone who tells you to wear your mask, that's all I need to know about you. But let me be clear. I don't condone anyone becoming the mask police because that also seems to be like a problem lately.
Everybody
too.
Has to make their own choice.
But come on. Like, this is the 10th story I've read over the last week where people have been getting in physical fights over these masks.
Yeah.
And this time, a 7-Eleven worker asked a guy to put on his face mask when he was going up, and he responded by throwing coffee in her face.
That's not cool, man.
No,
there's no part of that that's cool.
No, not at all. Here's the police chief talking about it.
Throwing hot water on somebody, you know, that definitely is an aggravated battery or assault, if called, but it's uncalled for. Whether you like wearing a mask or not, it doesn't mean that we have to become violent and assault other people.
So I went and I picked up food yesterday, and it's, you know, they've got, you go in to this place, it's a deli, mm-hmm. and you go and you pick it up, and there was a good amount of people in there for a small building as far as what I've been used to recently. And there was one gentleman, there was the creeper, you know, there's always the guy who just keeps getting closer and closer to you, mm-hmm. despite you pivoting away. And you just have to try and be tolerant of all people, you know?
The New York Times put an article out yesterday about how to handle people who are not wearing face masks, yeah, which is crazy that this has to be a real thing. Here are the four things you're supposed to do if you encounter someone without a mask. One, speak up.
Okay.
Especially if you're in a higher risk group for the virus. I don't know if I necessarily agree with that.
Well.
Number two, I do agree with this. Don't get angry, right?
Right. Try not to.
Right.
Because they could have an angry reaction.
Exactly. Number three, don't assume you know why someone isn't following the guidelines.
Right.
That's true.
Because that's a big one.
A lot of people have health things that they can't wear masks. They can't do it.
Assumptions is always bad.
Right.
It never works out.
And the fourth thing is you should thank people who do practice social distancing. Can you imagine you're in line and you yell to the person standing 6 feet behind
thanks,
you?
Hey, thanks, man.
Good job, buddy.
Way to go, bro.
Yeah.
If you're worried about the jokes that your grandfather-in-law is going to tell to your neighbors when he's doing tree jobs for them, that's all I need to know about you.
Well.
So my grandfather-in-law is quite the character, and he's a retired tree climber and cutter, and he does great work. He's 79 years old, still climb up a 100-foot tree and drop that thing right where you want it in the yard, and he does it for less than anybody. But now all my
doesn't
neighbors are
safe.
Using him.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing is, I gave his number to my obnoxious neighbor because he can handle it. But my neighbor's past my obnoxious neighbor, much more subdued. And I'm worried.
Yeah, no, I know. I know that feeling.
I'm worried, man.
I understand. 1-800-330-9999. All you have to do is fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. It's Anna and Raven.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every weekday morning, a couple joins us and let us know what their problem is, and then you're the judge as to who's right. Clark and Josephine. Clark, I'm going to start with you. What's going on?
All right, so my wife and I bought a house recently on the same street where, you know, my in-laws live, or her parents live. Her dad is, I mean, what do you want to say? He's a very old-school Greek gentleman, but he's also a landscaper, and he just is overly insistent that he does our lawn as well. And, you know, last year was fine. He does a great job. But, you know, this year, I want to start doing it myself. She thinks it's going to hurt his feelings.
Why can't you do it with him, like together?
He just keeps telling me, you know, I do everything kind of wrong. And
yeah.
I can
He's particular.
That.
He's got a lifetime of experience in there. I always look around at the failures around my yard, Anna, and say, if my father was alive, man, he had the green thumb. Me, I just tend to put things down.
But how would you like it if somebody was telling you how to run your own yard?
Yeah.
Josephine,
I guess it's tough.
What do you think about all this?
I mean, I'm completely with you. When you ask the question of, well, why can't you do it together? That's exactly what I have been saying. And I know that he has a particular way of doing it, but give it a try. Maybe they'll bond over it. I mean, they've never really been close, and this could be an opportunity for that.
The fact is, at the end of the day, I'm a results guy. So if the lawn is green right now and thick and heavy, I'm like, nope, don't change anything.
I mean, without even telling us, he plants all these tomato plants and fig trees, and to be honest, who needs all that?
That's his farmland.
Right.
That's his extra farmland. You guys are right down the street.
Right, it's
so
convenient.
What is it you want to do? You want her to tell your dad? I mean, why don't you just tell him that you want to do the landscaping this year?
Clearly, you're not getting rid of the fig trees because you need those.
Right. So you want her to tell him? I need to understand.
She doesn't want me to say anything. She thinks it'll hurt his feelings.
Aww.
He's retired. It's what makes him happy. She just wants me to let him do it. The garden, the flowers, the whole deal. I mean, she wants me to do it with him. But she doesn't have to put up with him lecturing me the entire time we do it.
Well, what we can do is ask our audience what they think. And they may agree with you, Clark. It is your yard. And if you want to take care of it yourself, then you should. And there should be a conversation where you tell them, hey, listen, I got this. But on the flip side, they may see where Josephine's coming from. It's her dad. And, you know, this is what her dad does. And it makes him happy. And maybe it's not going to kill you to try to just do it with him and just follow his lead. I mean, he was a landscaper. He knows what he's doing. He's got fig trees in your yard.
Right. I mean, maybe you're no good at it.
Right. Do you ever think of that? Do you guys both agree to listen to what our audience has to say?
I certainly do.
Sure.
I definitely do.
Great. Call or text. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Josephine and Clark, they bought a house a couple years ago on the street where her parents live. And her father is an old school Greek guy. He was a landscaper. He comes over. He does the lawn. He's got the fig tree. He does their tomato garden.
Mm-hmm.
He takes care of everything. Now, Clark, he's not too happy with his father-in-law.
Well, the thing is Clark wants to do some of this stuff on his own. And he's a little bit open to working with his father-in-law. His wife would like him to continue with that, but the thing is that dad just tells him how he's doing it wrong all day and night. It's not very relaxing at all, really, for him.
Yeah, but Josephine says, just let him do it. It makes him happy. He's retired. He likes to take care of the garden and the yard. Just let him do it. What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Anna and Raven.
I'm really on her side because if he wanted to do his lawn, he shouldn't have let the father-in-law do it for all these years or however long he's been doing it for. Now he wants him to stop. It's just not really right. If he's been doing it, he should continue to do that.
Yeah. Mm.
Thank you for the
call. Thank you.
I mean,
it's only been a couple years,
right,
that said that they moved in.
And when you're first moving in, you probably got a lot of projects around the house. So dad's like, I'll help you out on that part. That's the part I'm good at.
Right. Yeah, it's tough. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court with Anna and Raven. Clark and Josephine bought a home on close by to where her parents live a couple years ago. And her father's an old school Greek landscaper. Comes over, takes care of the lawn, fig trees, grass, does the garden. And her husband, Clark, not on board with this.
I'm sure it helps. I'm sure the yard looks absolutely gorgeous. But when somebody's planting trees and fruits and a garden and they're not even talking to you about it, I mean, there's something to be said there.
She says, just let him do it. It makes him happy. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
I'm on the wife's side. You know, come on. Give his father-in-law a break. He's older. He wants to feel valued and needed. You know, wait until the day comes when one of their kids are older and he wants to help. And the kid's like, nah, dad, you're useless. You can't do it right. Blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, he's going to put him to pasture.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, wow, that took a dark turn. I mean, thank you.
He should just live in misery to make his father-in-law happy. I got to disagree. I'm sorry.
I don't disagree, to be honest.
I don't disagree.
I think, like, listen, sometimes it's just easier to pick and choose your battles, and this isn't one you should choose.
Sacrifice your life. Right. Anna and Raven, whose side are you on?
I'm definitely on the wife's side. I think it's a literal turf war, and I think that the father-in-law, he admits, does a good job. Help him and shut up about it when he says you're not doing it right, because you probably aren't. Or let him do it himself. I think it's sheerly testosterone based.
Because girls never do this.
No.
Wives and mother-in-laws never do this.
Yeah.
Thank you for the call. Anna and Raven, whose side are you on?
I think that they should just let the father do it. He's retired. It makes him happy. He's not going to be around forever. It's not hurting anyone. Just let him do it.
I love how you guys are all killing this father-in-law. He could be around the next 30 to 40 years. You guys have no idea what you're talking about.
Because I understand.
He's not
going to
be around forever.
Because it makes him happy. Just let him. He's trying to help.
But it makes him miserable. It makes the homeowner miserable.
I don't know. I think it's a small concession. I'm with you.
Oh, you guys are all ridiculous.
Thank you for the call.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Josephine, our audience agreed with you in the aspect where, Clark, you should be working with him together and make this something you guys do together, because they felt that if just saying, hey, we don't want you in our yard anymore, it's hurtful and it's probably not the right way to go.
I think that's wonderful. I mean, obviously, that's what I've been saying all along. So I'm really glad that the listeners were smart enough to get on board. And this can be a bonding experience. This is a big deal. Like, that's how my dad bonds, you know, is by doing things. And he didn't always want to have a relationship. And now that he does, I think this is a big step in the right direction.
Submit, Clark. Submit now. Start with this weekend. It's going to be really nice out. Get that guy to work. Get over here, Dad.
Yeah. I mean, there's going to come a time when you're really busy and you're going to be happy that he's over there with the lawnmower.
It's probably fig harvesting season. That's when you'll be happiest.
That's right. We'll have plenty of figs. You guys can stop by. We'll make some jam for you.
That's fantastic.
I love it.
Anybody else have an issue, send an email to couplescourt@annaandraven.com. Call it the coronavirus dictionary. We've done it a few times. We like to update it. It's words that you never knew that you would know, and now you know them.
Yeah, it seems like we get some of this over the last few years with winter weather. Like, we've got the polar vortex and stuff like that. Stuff you never heard of before in your life, and you're just like, oh, of course, this is happening all the time, and you need to be aware of this stuff.
It's Anna and Raven. And there's statements that you've grown to hate and you hope you never hear again.
Right.
In the COVID-19 dictionary that we've created, the coronavirus dictionary, social distancing, unprecedented times.
Over that.
Right. You hate unprecedented times,
but
you always try to find different ways to say it. It would be easier if you just said unprecedented times.
Uncharted territory.
You've said that a few times lately,
and
it
always
makes
me feel nautical.
And
like it's
on a
boat.
Yeah.
Right.
You've said that three times on the air in the last 24 hours, and I go, what? Like, what boat
just
are we driving?
Just don't say it's unprecedented. Don't.
So you want to say uncharted waters? You said
just
uncharted
waters. Just say it's been a long time.
Flatten the curve.
100 years.
We don't want to hear flatten the curve.
Yeah.
We don't want to hear self-quarantine. I know more about the Spanish flu than I ever thought I'd know about my whole entire life, right?
Right.
But there's a couple new ones that we can add to that. Contact tracing.
Okay. Yeah. That's the new thing.
All of a sudden, we know contact tracing. And right. That's the new thing. And it's funny you should bring that up. Because the new normal, you hear that all the time. And whenever I say new normal, I put up my fingers in air quotes.
Nobody
can
see you.
Normal.
This is radio.
Right, but I
do
it
television.
In conversation, too. And I don't know why. It's like my body automatically does air quotes on new normal.
It's so weird.
So weird. Kawasaki disease, we've learned a lot about in the last week.
Well, I don't know that we've actually learned anything, but we've heard it.
Right, yeah. Herd immunity, I've been hearing a lot.
Yes.
Yeah, that's
and herd mentality, I've been hearing that, too.
Yeah, exactly. And that has a lot to do with the opening of the different, you know, towns
cough
and states.
Cough on me. Give it to me. I'm ready.
Right.
This is what we have to do to move ahead.
If you're not familiar with herd immunity, there's two ways you can get herd immunity. One, through vaccinations, which clearly we don't have. And the second is natural infection and recovery. So you purposely get it so your body builds an immunity
chicken
to it.
Chicken pox parties.
Exactly. But this one that I heard in a Zoom meeting this past weekend, it was the first time I ever heard this, and I was so confused, Raven.
What's that?
So I work at a couple of gyms. I teach group fitness. I teach Zumba, weight training, and all that. And, you know, we're all furloughed. That's all there is to it.
Right.
So we have these meetings every week, kind of just to touch base what's going on. So the person in charge says, okay, I'm going to do a temperature check.
Right.
So now here's me.
You're like, wait a minute.
I go, like, through the computer?
And how do we know who's telling the truth?
Right. I go, wait, am I supposed to go get my... like
go
my,
get your one.
My thermometer?
Right.
And I'm going to scan my forehead and then we have to show? Like, are we supposed to show that we're not doing
I hope
anything?
Everybody's got one that does the forehead because I don't want to watch the rest of the options.
Yeah, exactly. Like, for me, I gave my forehead one to my parents, so all I have now is the other one for the babies that go in the tuchus.
Oh, no.
And there's no way.
That is not happening on a Zoom.
No.
So what?
That
what,
would go
what
viral. No, a temperature check is how people feel about going back to work.
Oh.
So after I understood
that. I think it's
that,
how you feel about anything, right?
Well, no. For this particular thing, it was a
now
temperature
check. Now
they're
saying it's just going to be
it's
COVID.
It's just for this.
Okay.
How do you feel about returning to the workplace? And it was doing a temperature check to kind of survey all the employees to see how they feel about it. And I was like, oh, that makes a lot more sense than checking my my temperature on a Zoom meeting.
On your tuchus.
Right, exactly.
Right.
So we can add that. To the coronavirus dictionary.
Well,
temperature
thank you.
Check.
Thank you for this update.
You're welcome.
Can't beat Raven.
It's Anna and Raven. Who's this?
Camille.
Camille, can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, please leave the room.
All right. Good luck, guys.
All right.
Thank you.
Camille, you have your daughter there with you?
Yes, I do.
And what's her name?
Lena.
All right. Camille and Lena playing mother-daughter team. Okay, here's how it's going to work. I ask you five questions. They're all pop culture. Answer them as quickly as you can. And then Raven will come in and I'm going to ask him the same questions. It's really easy. Whoever gets the most right is the winner. But if he gets a tie, if there's a tie between you guys, then the win is going to go to Raven. You ready to play?
We are.
All right. $100 to Duncan if you can do it. Number one, Stevie Wonder turned 70 years old on Wednesday. What was the name of the 1985 song he was a part of with Michael Jackson, Cyndi Lauper, Bruce Springsteen, and many others to raise money for African relief?
We Are the World.
Number two, Tom Hardy and Charlize Theron talked in a recent interview about not getting along while filming this 2015 action movie set in a post-apocalyptic world with tons of cars driving through the desert. What was that movie called?
Mad Max.
Number three, Tina Fey's 8-year-old daughter Penelope crashed her home interview with Seth Meyers to call her a loser. What other late-night talk show host played her first co-anchor on SNL's Weekend Update?
Will Ferrell.
Number four, Matt Damon revealed that his 21-year-old daughter had coronavirus and has since recovered. What was the name of the movie he wrote and starred in with Ben Affleck and Robin Williams?
Good Will Hunting.
And number five, Kanye West's former bodyguard says he won't push his own elevator buttons. Who is Kanye's mother-in-law?
The Kardashian's mother. I can't remember her name.
That's all right. Let me bring Raven back in. Raven!
Yo!
Okay, so Camille and Lena, mother-daughter team, they got 3 out of 5.
3 out of 5 is not bad. Let's see how I do.
Number one, Stevie Wonder turned 70 on Wednesday. What was the name of the 1985 song he was a part of with Michael Jackson, Cyndi Lauper, Bruce Springsteen, and many others to raise money for African relief?
We are the world.
Don't sing. Great job.
Oh, such a great song.
Number two, Tom Hardy and Charlize Theron talked in a recent interview about not getting along while filming this 2015 action movie set in a post-apocalyptic world with tons of cars driving through a desert.
Mad Max Fury Road. The fact that they're talking about it out front makes me think that there's going to be another one, and I can't wait.
Number three, Tina Fey's 8-year-old daughter Penelope crashed her home interview with Seth Meyers to call her a loser. What other late-night talk show host played her first co-anchor on SNL's Weekend Update?
Jimmy Fallon.
Jimmy Fallon is correct. You guys are tied at three. And Jimmy Fallon was great with Tina Fey, but Tina Fey and Amy Poehler were the best of all time on SNL.
I would agree. They were better, yeah.
Number four, Matt Damon revealed that his 21-year-old daughter had coronavirus and has since recovered. What was the name of the movie he wrote and starred in with Ben Affleck and Robin Williams?
Good Will Hunting.
And
fantastic
number five.
Movie. How you like them apples?
Mm-hmm. Kanye West's former bodyguard says he won't push his own elevator buttons. Who is Kanye's mother-in-law?
His mother-in-law is Kris Jenner.
I'm sorry, Camille and Lena. He beat you, 5-3 this morning.
Yep. Well, this is Camille and Lena, and we can't beat Raven.
I'm on fire today. Better luck next time.
Yeah, and we're going to get you your own Anna and Raven t-shirt, so there's that.
That sounds great. Thank you.
All right, hold on the line. We'll get all your info. We'll have another shot for you to get the cheat sheet, the first two answers to Monday's 5 Pop Culture Questions. That's coming up in the 5 o'clock hour today. We joked about this last month, but you may remember Dr. Fauci saying this.
When you gradually come back, you don't jump into it with both feet. You say, you know, what are the things that you could still do and still approach normal? You don't ever shake anybody's hands. That's clear.
It's Anna and Raven.
Man, I want to do high fives. That's what I want to do, high fives.
Well, this comes up because as we start reopening little by little, sure. You know, that this has become a bigger issue because are we really not going to shake people's hands anymore? And trending like crazy.
I think you're going to forget, man. I think you're walking along and when you actually are able to have a conversation with somebody, you know, even more so when the mask comes off because people then just forget like that second of normalcy. You're like, yeah, bro, what's up?
Well, that's what this article goes on to say, is we should stop shaking hands, but they think it'll be easier for millennials and the younger generation versus the older who are just so used to it. So Dr. Fauci was asked once again yesterday about whether he was serious about that. And I mean, this is what he said.
In a perfect world, when you're dealing with the potential for this terrible ordeal that we're going through right now, knowing that hands and hands to face do it, that would be something that I think would hopefully be attainable. But I don't think it will be.
I think it's funny that he thinks that people won't be able to stop shaking hands.
It's a learned human behavior. Any behavior takes time. And then there's that one person that always forgets. And then you stare at each other like, what did we just do to each other?
Here's the crazy part. Research shows that people who shake hands before beginning negotiations achieve, and I quote, better joint outcomes.
Of course, you're giving that person your respect, and there's a bit of faith there, some trust as we meet face to face. Now, so even more so if I believe that you might be carrying something that could kill me.
Well, so the question becomes, do we get rid of the handshake? And according to this article, there are 6 right now ways that you can do alternative handshakes, but they want people in general to come up with one so it becomes universal. So we learn how to do this, a new behavior.
We have to agree upon the woo handshake or something else, the kick kid and play style thing. Well, all right, what are the options here?
Hand wave, which, you know, hey!
Nonsense. Lame.
I like this one. Don't make fun of me.
Huh.
But I'm going to vote for it. Hand across your chest, like you kind of just put your hand across.
What is that?
Like you're doing the Pledge of Allegiance, but you put your hand all the way to the elbow.
Oh, yeah. Weirdo.
I don't know. I like it.
Let's work on telepathic implants before that. What do you got? What's option 3?
The foot shake. My husband does the foot shake all the time, and I think it's so corny. Like, no, thank you.
Let it go.
Elbow bump, dumb. I don't like the elbow bump.
I mean, we've been doing that forever. That's an extension of handshake. It's not a replacement.
Every time you go in to elbow bump somebody, and I've seen you do it a few times, it's so awkward, and I'm like, just don't greet them at all.
Because they're never hip enough to know.
Oh,
they don't know.
The head bow? I don't know.
No.
We should bow to people.
Not happening.
I feel like we should be curtsying, remember?
I never bend the knee to anybody.
And why don't we just curtsy, like very casually?
Bend the knee to anybody.
I've been watching The Crown a lot. I feel like if you just do a slight curtsy, it's not so bad.
Yeah.
And the last one is do the namaste. Hands in prayer position, nod your head, and just say namaste.
Now, come on,
but
you
don't have to say namaste, but you just put your hands in front of you in prayer and you just
That's nonsense.
Well, so which one do you vote for? You can only have one.
I got to go elbow bump, even though it's not my favorite. It just feels more American. It feels like apple pie and hot dogs at a baseball game for me.
Just put your hand across your chest.
No, that feels like some sort of Star Trek thing. I don't like it.
Then curtsy. That's it.
That is not happening.
It's The Bright Side. All the good things that are happening in your community, Anna and Raven. You've heard of therapy dogs, and we love them. But how about horse therapy? Yeah, Bright Strides in East Haven is doing just that. Here's board member Sean Condren.
Equine therapy is such a key to, you know, understanding how to feel better. They understand exactly how to help you. It's like, oh, I can see that you're not feeling well, so I'm going to go over and snuggle with you, or, you know, put my nose in your shoulder.
I've never cuddled with a horse. I would like to.
I know a couple people. I know one, they have a child who's on the spectrum, and horse therapy has been absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
Transformative, really, for their family.
Mm.
You know that I am terrified of horses, actually.
Yep.
I think they're lovely, majestic creatures, but I believe that with a mouth that large, they're destined to sooner or later try and take a bite out of my skull.
My bigger concern is their powerful hind legs. I feel like one kick from that hind...
Right.
You feel like your gut.
Everybody talks about birds as the descendants of dinosaurs, but I see a horse as a modern-day T-Rex with a better publicist.
Okay.
That's really how I see it.
And while cuddling with a horse is awesome, and maybe one day we'll get the opportunity to do that, how about the gang at Stony Brook University Hospital? They logged on to their weekly virtual happy hour, and they had a surprise guest. It was A-Rod.
What?
Hey, thanks for coming. How about you guys? You guys staying safe? Jennifer and the kids are doing well. We are, doing the best we can here.
It was rejuvenating, I think would be a great word to say.
We will be better and stronger when we come out of this.
Once the doctors got word that A-Rod had jumped on, a lot of more doctors started jumping on.
It got very popular. I would imagine that virtual happy hour.
Yeah, that's super cool. That's, it's a nice distraction, I would say.
Right.
1-800-330-9999. What's the bright spot?
Hey, I want to share a nice story. I work in hospice. You know, everybody's self-isolating and no visitors. So our nurses are being creative. I mean, they're FaceTiming with family so they can share their loved ones. But one of our nurses said, you know what? This woman loves animals. And we purchased those motorized cats that look real and they purr and everything. And we purchased a bunch of them for our patients in the nursing home so they wouldn't feel so isolated.
Oh, that's cool.
That's a nice idea.
Right.
All of our team members are really thinking outside the box because of the restrictions with visits. So they're just being so creative and we're purchasing anything we can buy for them so that they have some comfort.
He's the keeper of the castle.
He didn't weed whack the lawn all summer.
He's a caring dog dad.
The dog hasn't been out since 2 o'clock.
He's the romance king.
We haven't been on a date in 6 months.
It's time for Raven's report card.
Checking in with Raven's wife, Alicia, to see how he behaved as a husband.
Hi.
Congratulations on your deck being painted. I know that was a massive achievement.
Oh, my God, Anna. Never. I know I said this last time, but really, seriously, never again.
Wait, so how much did you do and how much did Raven do? Because he came into the studio and he's like, it was a big day. I painted the whole deck.
I did not say I painted. Don't you dare.
No. You said, I painted the whole deck. And I said, wait a minute. I saw Alicia post on Facebook that she painted the deck. And then he goes, he stepped it back. He rolled it back. And he's like, well, she did the work too. And then he stepped it back even more. And he's like, well, she did most of the work. Then he took another step back. He goes, like, she did 70% of the work and I did 30% of the work.
I mean, I said all that happened in a span of about 5 seconds that I said that.
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
You make it sound like it took me an hour to the truth.
I saw the wheels turning in your head as it was coming out. And I'm like, but I saw on Facebook. And I was like, yeah, all right. So how'd it go?
It was miserable. I have blisters from the paintbrush and my knees are killing me. And yeah, it was awful. It's awful. I miss our old deck.
We had one of those Trex decks. Oh, that thing was sexy. We did. We had a sexy deck at the other place, and it was big. Oh, it was not. You just power wash that thing, and it was good to go. But the deck did come out great. It does look good. So
he did jump in and save me, though. I had to wash it first because it's been sitting all winter. I scrubbed the whole thing on my hands and knees, Anna. Like
with a sponge.
Scrubbed the deck.
She did with a sponge.
Are you supposed to do that?
I'm not sure. Well, I was thinking like a 2 foot wide brush after, right. But she was done.
Well, I didn't want to chip all the paint off of it. And if you power wash it or any of that, you chip the paint off. So I washed it with dish soap and water, and it was miserable. And then I painted it. He did step in, though. I couldn't take it anymore. I had a headache. I felt like I was going to throw up. It was awful, and he stepped in. I'd say he did about 25% of it.
Oh, he said 30, so it's kind of close. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, he stepped in and saved me because I wasn't going to be able to handle it.
I don't know if on your knees with a sponge was the way to go. I would use like a broom, like a soap and the broom and the bristles.
This is very helpful now.
Well,
yeah, but time. it would have chipped. I was thinking about that, but...
Well, it's good that he stepped
in. I already did it.
Well, it's good. Like, it's done. Now it's done for the season, and you can look down, and you can be proud of it. So how's Raven been behaving as a husband?
He saved himself with helping with the deck, so maybe we should just stick to that.
Okay, that's good.
Some weeks are easier than others, Anna.
You know, so
it's like a roller coaster. One day you feel like you're doing so good, and then the next day you're face down in the dirt.
I was watching some
on rocks
of the
and glass
of the groupie love that he was getting. So every Saturday, not every Saturday, but periodically on Saturday nights, Raven hosts is on the Anna and Raven Facebook page, Raven's Rave, and he basically DJs from his garage. And this past weekend he did it, and I was watching, and you know, obviously Alicia's there and she's dancing, and I'm reading all the comments from the women. And they're like, Alicia is so lucky that she has a guy like that. And I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, it's like the DJ, the DJ thinking where you think the DJ is so hot because he can play all the music. And I'm like, I don't know if Alicia would 100% agree with that right now.
Oh, wow.
Well,
I used to.
Wow, happy Friday to you.
But that's how. That's how he got you, though, right? Because he was DJing and you thought he was the hot DJ guy.
Yep, that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, that was all there was to it.
Little did you know, a decade later, you'd be in your garage and you'd be mixing it down for your neighbors in our Facebook Live.
I'll take my grade now, thank you.
He's been so cranky, Anna. I don't know if you feel my pain, work wife, but he's been miserable, so. So he's getting a C. It would be like a D or an F, but he did save me on the deck.
That's good, I guess, right?
Feels like a B.
I mean, a C is not a B. A B is good. No. A C is passing.
It's a big deck. Yeah. It's a big deck.
Okay. My 5-year-old nephew really wants one of those trampolines outside, like the big trampolines that you're not supposed to get because, you know, they could break their neck and all that.
Yeah, yeah, so, their arm.
Right. So his mom, who's my cousin, she was like, let's get it for them. So they have 4 kids. And
would she always be like that? Is she always the daredevil mom, or is it just because there's nothing to do right now?
She's home with 4 kids under 10 years old. Okay. And, you know, she's looking for things to do with them. And but it's her husband, who my cousin Keith, she married him, that says, like,
thank you for the explanation
of how that works. Right. He's like, no way.
Right.
And he actually works with orthopedics. So, like,
I gotta be honest with you. I don't know if you should have gave the names because insurance carriers really don't want you to have them at houses.
Well, like, it doesn't matter.
Really don't.
Because he said, no, it's Anna and Raven. And he said, absolutely not. And,
right.
Like, so, he, you know, my nephew calls me and I'm like the fun one. Like, I'm the one that gets them what they want.
Right.
And I was like, well, you know, your birthday's coming up in July.
I'll see. I'll have to talk to Santa. Right? I'll check off with the Easter Bunny.
But what?
Talk with the other, you know, people that are in charge of that.
So I was like, you know, sometimes when kids beg for things, you know, you say no, but then you just have to give in.
You want to do it.
You want to do it.
It's the Red Ryder BB gun moment. It's
right.
My favorite part of A Christmas Story.
But it's true.
What's that back there? Huh? What's that last one there?
Right.
You see that one? And it's that magical look
and
that moment. Here's the thing. You know, trampoline parks and stuff, that's one thing because they're set up. They, you know, OSHA's come in and done. They had a clipboard and they, you know, marked some stuff off and made it more safe. If you have one in your backyard, your leg gets stuck in between the springs and you're flipping over and all of a sudden you get an artery tear. It's dangerous, man.
I know. But what it comes down to is that sometimes kids beg for things and you just want to give in to them. And this is like the situation. And I actually don't really have that problem. I have 2 girls, but my older daughter, Hayden.
She doesn't beg to you?
No. But then I think about it. It's like probably because the only thing she really needs is her laptop and her phone. And she's had that.
She's got those.
So she doesn't really need anything. Even when I ask her to make Christmas lists, she's really got nothing to put on it.
But she's got to have that family member, whether it's your mother or whoever, that she can go to if she knows that you would probably reject something and that person will get it for her.
Well,
so
usually,
every kid has got something.
It's usually ice cream food.
So you are that for your niece
and
nephew.
For my niece and my nephews, right. My godchildren who I adore. What's the last thing that your kid begged for that you gave it? into?
I mean, it's probably like a exhaust system for a car. He's always buying and trading cars. You know, 17 cars in 1 year.
Seems like a lot.
It's insane.
I don't know.
Is what it is.
That's...
And he's always like, oh, well, I really need this muffler system. And it's like some race ridiculousness thing. And he knows that we don't know what it is. And it's not like we can go to Walmart and pick it up. So I have just give him money.
Oh.
That's how that works.
Who has 17 cars in 1 year?
It's a thing.
Yeah.
It's a problem.
1-800-330-9999. What was the last thing that your child or somebody, your grandchild too, or niece or nephew begged for and you gave in and got it for them? 1-800-330-9999. What did your kid beg for that you finally just gave in? It's Anna and Raven. I remember when I was young, I wanted a New Kids on the Block starter jacket so badly.
So bad. I didn't even know they made starter jackets for NKOTB.
Oh, they did. Okay. And they were hot.
Yeah.
All right. And I said to my aunt, because my mom wouldn't buy it because it was $110 instead of a waste of money.
It was always $110.
Yep.
Oh, I didn't get a starter jacket for the same reason.
And I asked my aunt, who was also my godmother, and I said, can you please get me this starter New Kids on the Block jacket?
Right.
And she did. And I'll never forget
gosh.
It. It was like one of the greatest gifts I ever got. And sometimes when the kids beg and you just say no, you have to just give in because it
you gotta
really
have that
brings
moment.
Them happy. Yeah, like think about it. I'm almost 40. I remember that moment.
Right.
Like it was yesterday.
My wife got me a mini bike for Christmas.
Oh,
that was cool.
No, that's
that
not
was
cool.
Fun.
1-800-330-9999. Did you get your kid that they begged for? It's Anna and Raven.
Good morning. I had to buy a PS4 to my kid. I didn't want to buy it because I wanted to see better grades because his grades were horrible.
Right.
But this came up and I had to buy it.
Right. Are you playing anything with him?
Kind of, yeah. Call of Duty and stuff like that. He's good at it. He's kind of a gamer. I'm not.
Yeah,
I'm a millennial from the 80s, but I had to.
I can't play those games online with the kids, man, because I log on and when 2 seconds they're blowing me up with a grenade or something. Somebody's dancing on me. And,
can't figure
and
out
God
how to
forbid
do it.
You have the headset because these kids are vicious.
Right. The last time I played a video game, it was still a handheld thing where it was just left, right, up or down. That's as far as I know.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
Anna and Raven, what's the thing your kids begged for and you just had to give in, even though you knew you shouldn't?
It wasn't anything recent, but years ago, my son asked for a pocket rocket. You know, those small mini bikes?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So my husband convinced me that we should get one for him, and it was some rite of passage.
Oh, my gosh.
It did not turn out well. He skidded down the cul-de-sac we live on. He ended up in the hospital. He was fine, but it was such a dumb call on my part.
How old? How old was he?
He was 15.
Oh, my God. I there were grown men driving these through the cities, popping wheelies on these things.
Oh.
And it was dangerous for them when they were dressed in full leathers.
I hate those things.
I mean, you should have got him a dirt bike. And your husband going, what a great idea. It's a rite of passage. It's a rite of passage when you get your license.
I don't like those little bikes.
Oh, man.
I'm glad that phase is over. That's for sure.
Me too.
Hey, it's Anna and Raven. What did your kids beg for and you finally gave in?
For me, it was a puppy. I mean, they have been asking me for years, really. And I finally said, okay, I gave in. I figured this was the time to keep them occupied. Maybe it would teach them responsibility even, which would be great. We got one a couple weeks ago now, and she's adorable. You know, she's precious from North Shore Animal League, but they haven't done a thing. They haven't gotten up in the middle of the night once to take her out.
Oh.
Yeah, when you have all the time, it's great for training and settling in, but sooner or later, you're going to have to get those kids out there. Get them motivated.
Yeah, but it's hard when they're puppies and you have to take them out in the middle of the night. That's,
youth is on those kids' side.
I don't think they'd get up. Yeah, but it's nice that you rescued. We love that.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, it's Anna and Raven. What did your kids beg for that you finally gave in?
My twin 17-year-olds have been begging for a car that they would share, and since the online deals are good, I didn't tell my wife, but I bought them a pickup truck.
But did they get it yet? Do they know that they're getting it?
No, they don't know. They don't have any idea.
No, I'm just going to tell you, I buy my kid a pickup truck, and then he is regulated to lawn care. Like, I mean, that is happening. Like, if he's got the pickup truck now, like, that means everything that I ever wanted to go to the dump, he's taking it for me.
But what is your wife going to say?
You know, she's going to be surprised, too. But I think she'll appreciate that I'm doing this for the boys.
I want to know what they say. Make a video and send it to us, okay? I want to see their reaction.
Yeah.
Imagine you walk outside.
Freak out.
Yeah, they're gonna freak out. Like, I want to see that. Imagine your dad shows up. He's got a pickup truck and he says it's yours.
Anna and Raven, what's the thing your kids begged for and you just had to give in?
So does it count if it's your husband because he acts like a 5-year-old?
Sure, absolutely.
He begged for a John Deere tractor and set me up to think it was this huge thing, which is like really like the fourth or third model of it. And then finally, I got to settle on the smallest one possible, which was originally what he wanted. But it took a good year of begging and begging and begging.
Yeah, they don't give away them John Deere's, man. It's a big thing.
Yeah, it's a whole other car.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's like a car payment, right? And then, Raven, what's that thing you just had to give in on?
I had to give in on the hamster.
Oh.
Hemi Hantoro.
How's he doing? Does your kids take care of him?
Not at all. I don't know if it was them or me. That's the problem. So they wanted it, they wanted it, they wanted it. So I got it right around Thanksgiving break. The problem was that we left after Thanksgiving break and didn't come back until Christmas.
Oh, my gosh.
And
oh.
Oh,
I had to run in the house because they asked for him on the way home. They were like, Ma, what did we get Hammy for Christmas? I'm like, huh? What? That's when I remembered him. Yeah, that's when I remembered him. And then I realized I had to run in the house, pull him out the cage before, you know, I had to keep them busy, run in the house, pull him out the cage. I had to run to the pet store, get a new one, throw him in one of those balls that they roll around the house in and tell him that he was just roaming around the house when they found him and...
Act like he was having a great time.
Right.
I love it.
Having the best time ever. Last year, this was huge news.
Burned out at work. Well, it turns out the World Health Organization will now officially recognize that as a legitimate medical condition. Symptoms, they say, include feelings of exhaustion, workplace cynicism, and difficulty doing a job successfully.
It's Anna and Raven. Little did we know, Raven, a year later, we're going to have a serious new problem in conjunction with that called work-from-home burnout. That's real.
I'm not going to get too freaked out because it turns out I can't trust the WHO and anything they tell me.
Okay, but what it comes down to is that people are working from home, but they're working harder than ever. I mean, I see this with my husband because there's no time restraints because you're home. So there's Zoom meetings at 8:00 at night. There's all these different Excel sheets that have to be done at certain times. And people are just working harder than ever and they're getting burnt out.
Yeah, you know, working from home, I remember there's a lot of people in Connecticut versus other states where they have people working in insurance, right? Mm-hmm. Because it is the insurance capital or whatever it is. And so I know that there's neighbors or whatever that I would see and they would be working from home and I used to be so jealous. And you know what? Turns out it's terrible.
Yeah, it is true. Because we tried to work from home and we failed.
It was miserable.
We tried to broadcast from home. We had all the stuff. We had all the technology to do it. And it was nonstop. It was awful. And here we are back in the studio.
The days were so much longer. And the other thing was, is it just wasn't fun.
It wasn't fun.
It's just the energy is so much different.
Now, Facebook and Google have announced that until 2021, that their employees do not have to go back to the workplace. They can work from home. Twitter one-upped them and said for the rest of their lives, our employees can work from
home. Which seems to make sense. It's an online medium, but...
Yeah, so we asked on our Facebook page and all our social media pages if you would want to work from home forever. And it was really split down the middle 50-50, which we thought it was interesting. 1-800-330-9999. Tana and Raven, if you could work from home forever, would you want to?
Oh my God, yeah. I normally have a 3-hour commute each way public transit. Working from home saves me almost a full-time job day.
Do you commute into Manhattan?
Yeah.
One of the biggest things that people have been talking about right now is about when you go back to work in the city, are you going to go back? Has your company said anything about that?
You know, we get small updates every now and then, but there's nothing definite. And I'm thinking there on the terms of, well, we don't want to give them an answer and then go back on it.
Right.
Well, I think, too, is that...
Everything's up in the air.
I think, too, is that companies have to consider that there's certain guarantees in place right now if they're getting assistance, too. And then they got to figure out what the new norm is going to be. I think a lot of companies are going to let people work from home at least part of the time. But I'm not sure that they're going to be able to pay them what they were paying them to do that.
Well, if they get rid of the office space.
I don't know.
What do you think about this? You can head to our Facebook page, search Anna and Raven, and let us know there. If you had the option to work from home forever, would you?